Welcome to Super Tatties for Parshas Emor. I've got a whole slew of stories here for you. I'm going to say them in bullet points. There's a lot more to say. There are a lot about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. There's a lot of stuff that's out there now for the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro because we're holding Yimei Sfira and Lo Nahagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh, and we are trying to understand how better to be knowing Kavod. There's a story about Rav Aaron Cutler that he was involved in a very urgent matter of community needs and he needed to call somebody abroad. And they said, "Nu, can you get on this and do this?" And before he got on it, he said, "Wait a minute, hold on. Does this person have young children?" This was in the days before people had cell phones and they would just get their own ring wherever it was. They had landlines. He said, "Do they have young children and is it going to wake any of those children up?" So it's important to be sensitive of just the simple physical needs of others, and that was the idea. The Stipler had a hanhaga when he had family members that got married. He would go and visit them and give them a bracha and then talk over in learning with the chassan. And there was a particular relative, wasn't particularly scholarly, wasn't much of a Talmud Chacham. So when the Stipler went there, he didn't say anything, or he didn't say much. And the reason why was because he didn't want to embarrass the person who wasn't much of a Talmud Chacham. Next story is a story about Rav Elyashiv. Rav Elyashiv, I believe, once his wife passed away, he would make Havdalah in the Shul. And there was one time where he kind of delayed in the middle of Havdalah because he saw there was a little kid in Shul and everybody was giving around the Basamim to smell and the little kid had not yet had that opportunity. So big people see small people. That's kind of the lekach there. I hope that I am getting this name right. Harav Pinchas Hirschfrand was the bochin in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin and then moved to Montreal. After about 50 years, it came out that he was sending money to a person in Eretz Yisrael. And he was asked why. He said when he gave this person a bechina, he was the bochin. So when he gave them a bechina, he felt like he was too hard on them. He was too hard on them, and he heard that this person was in financial distress, so he decided to send him money, and the way I saw it was that it was monthly. Rav Nassen Zvi Finkel, he had a bacher, and I don't know if it was as much then as it is now, but yeshivas seem like they're a revolving door, and people don't always stick in the same spot for too long. So he had a bacher who left the mirror and went to go learn at Brisk, but the bacher at Brisk, they didn't have enough accommodations, so he would go back to Mir to sleep and eat. So Rav Nassen Zvi Finkel, I don't know if he sought him out or he had just run into him, and he went up to him and gave a beautiful Shalom Aleichem, and he said, "It's so nice for you to come back to us and give us this chizuk." Rav Chaim Brim, a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, I believe the Rebbe of Rav Mordechai Friedman, who my brother-in-law learned with for a long time, so I heard a lot of stories about him. I saw some written down about him that he was going with his family on a trip somewhere, and they were in the car, and he told the driver to turn around, and he went up to somebody, and he said, they said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I in my rush with my stuff, there was a person on the street who I know, and I don't think I greeted them properly." And he said, "Most of the tanios that I've had, the rove of them are because I may have offended somebody." So he was extraordinarily focused on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. There's another instance where he's going to go visit a grandchild, and there was a rove in the city that he also, he went out of his way to make sure that he would visit him because he didn't want to offend him. That, because if the Rav heard that he was in the city and he didn't visit him, then maybe he could, he could feel bad. And his grandson said to him, that's fine, but you've got a shear to prepare and it's going to take a lot of hachanas. He said, "That's fine. I can prepare for a shear in a small amount of time, but Bein Adam L'Chaveiro needs all the time that it is, it needs all the time for the hachanos that it requires." So, a dvar Torah, a regular dvar Torah on the parsha, a couple little nuggets to consider. There's a couple of different ways to deal with this, but I think that the way that I would want to explain this is about achrayus. By the menorah, it says yaruch oso in tetzave yaruch oso aron vonov, and by emor, it says yaruch oso aron, and the Torah observes that the banim are not there in the second. In the second instance, so what do we learn here? And the idea is after the position is the answer is that Aaron always went in for the Aaron because after Nadav and for the menorah is because after Nadav and Aviv died, he wouldn't allow other Kohanim to go in with concerns that they might also die. So the way that I'll understand this is that he took achrayus. He took achrayus. He didn't want, something else bad to happen on his watch. And I think this is a very interesting thing because I have a professional life where I have to delegate. We all have to delegate a little bit. And there's really a lot of michsholim in delegating too much and delegating too little, right? In both of them are not good. You got to get it perfectly right in balance, and the balance changes depending on a million different factors. But at the heart of it, anything which is your responsibility is your responsibility. And Aaron HaKohen was the type of person who would take that responsibility to its highest level, especially when it comes to relatives, and that's an important thing, especially today in our door, where it seems a lot of people look the other way and try to pass the buck when they have a personal responsibility and don't always take it to the highest the highest of levels of achrayus. A second idea, two mivchar pninims that came about this week that I think are very, very, very poignant, and I'm still just going all the seder. It's just amazing what you can find. The Amar, Sipurak Silim Asirim Avas, the Sipurim, the stories, the speech of the fools are the bounds of death. Hitirim Asar Chechem Bechochma. Release your bounds with wisdom. So the way that I would explain it, the way I saw in the Or HaPninim, took a couple of different mahalchim. I think all are important to mention. It's in form, substance, and cost is the way I thought of it. So a fool takes the chomer of something that is worth communicating. And the way that they communicate it is like putting vinegar on a piece of cake, meaning they're going to ruin it. There's lamushal, somebody who wants to understand the news. You read the news and you look at it and you say, well, what could possibly be true here, right? Meaning there's got to be something that happened, but like how do I interpret it from what they said? So sometimes the packaging can be so bad that it can take away the substance of it. I think that's very, very important. And then there's the substance, is that sometimes it actually corrodes into what they actually say, since they have leitzonus on their mind or whatnot. They're going to, they could even change what the story is. And then there's the cost. The cost of hanging out with Ksilim is the lack of the ability to hang out with Talmidei Chachamim. It creates a bitul effect, meaning if I could get this information, if I could be with a Talmidei Chachamim, like we mentioned last week, all of a sudden the quality of life gets improved. Next one, which this one I think is phrased so beautifully. This is more than Yimein Torah in Derech Eretz in Torah. V'amar lulei achachma lo hayinu mevakshim ha-maisa. He says, would it not be for wisdom, we wouldn't seek action. But if it wasn't for action, we wouldn't seek wisdom. So it's interesting. The idea here is about the fact that the fact that we need a motor, right? So we need a motor for motivation. There are people who, for example, are chesed people. They are out there. The amount of chesed they do is unbelievable, but the amount that they learn on, you know, so it has to take a cost, and that makes sense for certain people, but they need a motor. They need gas, right? So there's some people end up getting burned out because they're not feeding themselves and nourishing themselves properly. So I think of it like, for me, if I don't have the machshava or the sifrei musar or the chizuk or whatever, probably all three you kind of need, and new material, chazara of old material, like a few of those things, my perspective can eventually get warped and I can kind of find myself out in left field. So what that is, it's gas. It helps me kind of keep myself in balance, and we need to find the proper balance for us. But, and then that will make us motivated to do the chassadim and to make the shirim and do all the other things that we do and to keep ourselves in check. So the chokhma is the gas, and the maisa is the balance of the maisim tovim. But if we didn't have the maisa, though, sometimes the sheer intellectual piece is not, you know, not everybody has the ability to sit for 18 straight hours. It's just, or at least consistently. You could do it for a day, a week, a month, several years, maybe a couple of decades, whatever it is. You know, people can push themselves and it's encouraged to a certain degree, to a proper degree with good etza. But the other piece of it is that we need it to, we need the chesed and the balance and to see how it comes out, and maybe perhaps lo amedrashia ikar ela amaisa. So it kind of is a diathesis stress to work together, which is gorgeous. So I saw this piece, though, that says lulei achakma lo hayinu mevakshim amaisa. I can understand that's the guess. Lulei amaisa lo mevakshim chokma, were it not for the actions, I wouldn't do chokma, is an interesting article by Rav Lichtenstein Zecher Tzadik Livracha called Why Learn Talmud. And somebody, he was asked many times, if you weren't mitzuva, if you weren't commanded to learn Gemara, would you still? And his response was, he quoted somebody else, you know, who was asked something, and he said, it's like asking why breathe. And the upshot seemed to be that, of course we would. So there's a mahalich to say that, of course, Torah is... Torah Chochma stands monolithically as an extraordinary interaction with the divine that should seek infinite motivation without any other input. But on the other hand, there is this Mivchar Apninim, which seems to say that we might need something exogenous to be able to maintain the motivation. So I would give two chilukim. One might be, it could be that we're talking about different people, maybe some who are more cerebral than others, or people who are holding on different dargas, or maybe people at different stages in their lives. Next, just one on when it says, Kol Pirkei Avos this week, Perek Dalet, it's really tough because we see Talmidei Chachamim who are not doing well. So are we going to say they weren't really Makayim it? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner has a Mahalich, and his Mahalich is that we're talking about when it says Makayim Asatura Me'oni, it's saying that you're Sameach Bechalko. So what's the Osher? The Osher is feeling Sameach Bechalik. It doesn't mean that your pockets are lined with gold. And he's this line, Hineli Isha Shirli Bo Sameach Bashle Muso, a person who is happy with all this. Kol Tanugeya Olam, the Kol Tsareya Olam Dolim Be'en of Lehevel. All of the pleasures and all of the pains of the world are nothing to them. Meaning to say, once you realize that you're amassing the greatest wealth of Nischius, the rest of it does not matter. You are wealthy. Last, just a kasha to consider. And the kasha is that we generally in Tfilas Musafim say the korbanos that are shayach for that day. But if you notice, for the Tefillas Musaf of Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem are missing. Why is that? Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.